Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal, page 61. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48, section on gratitude. Subsection, that of the Lord's Prayer, page 61, question and answer 123. What does the second request mean? Thy kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. Let us take our Bibles, turn in them to four passages, most of them brief. First to Psalm 119, verse 5, found on page 650, the Pew Bibles. Psalm 119, verse 5. You can see this comes in the first stanza, that under the heading of Aleph. We've mentioned before this is an acrostic where every stanza, that is a section of eight verses, begins in the Hebrew language with the same letter. This is like our letter A. Verse 5, hear now, people of God, the very words of God. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Let us turn over to 122, verses 6 through 9. Psalm 122, verses 6 through 9. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let us turn to the New Testament, the book of Romans, verse 18 and following, page 1201. Romans 8, verse 18 and following. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. One more passage, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, page 1303. We'll read just the second part of this verse, 1 John 3, verse 8. We'll pick up in the middle of this verse. We read this: the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, if you think of the gospel accounts, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there is a subject, there is a theme that comes up again and again in them, and that is the theme of the kingdom of heaven. The coming of the kingdom of heaven. It was central to Jesus' ministry on earth. God's promise that this kingdom will spread and God will cause it to triumph over the kingdoms of this world. That theme is found there, but it's found in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. It's found in the book of Revelation, the end of the new. What is the kingdom of heaven? We pray here, thy kingdom come, your kingdom come. What is that kingdom? Well, there's no definition given in the scriptures or in our confessions. But we can say different things about it. A simple statement would be it's the rule and reign of God, openly acknowledged, desired, and pursued. That's what Jesus brought with his ministry on earth, with his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. He has brought the rule of God to man as a man. As a man perfectly obeying God throughout his life, shedding his blood on Golgotha's cross to reconcile sinners to God, to pay for the sins of his people, he has conquered death in his resurrection. Righteousness, peace, joy, Jesus has brought that. He has brought the kingdom of heaven. But we, you and I, are sinners. Born, conceived in sin, captive to sin by nature. We live in the midst of a world that is fallen, is bound in this death, a world that is still in rebellion against God. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven, yes, but this kingdom must spread to us, to others throughout this world. And it is for the coming of this kingdom that we pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Now we need to be clear, this kingdom does not come through man's efforts, man's methods. It doesn't come through political or military action. It is a work of God by his Spirit in the hearts and lives of his chosen ones, and it comes only through faith. Those who turn away from sin, who repent and entrust themselves to Jesus, they are the ones who receive the blessedness of this kingdom. All those who believe in Jesus receive righteousness of this kingdom, Christ's righteousness, forgiveness. This is the work of the Spirit in bringing the kingdom of heaven. He joins us to Christ, even today. That message goes forth. Trust him. Now, while we dismiss, and rightly so, predictions setting dates for when Jesus will come a second time, we heartily embrace the hope of his return, his second coming. When he comes, the kingdom will come in its fullness. And it is the coming of that kingdom, that coming that we especially yearn for. That's our great desire. For then the kingdom will be consummated. It will come in its fullness. But brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait until that day for it to come at all. The kingdom is among us even now. And Jesus teaches us to pray for the continual coming of that kingdom. As I proclaim to this evening, we pray that our Heavenly Father's kingdom would come. We pray that our Heavenly Father's kingdom would come. First, we consider that when we pray this, we pray that his kingdom would come within us. Come within us. And when we think about the coming of the kingdom of heaven, we think of the gospel accounts, we often think of it as something out there, something that can be seen with earthly eyes. We think of miracles that Jesus performed. We think of his second coming. Every eye will see. Everyone will bow. But when we pray this request, your kingdom come, we're also praying for something now, something that directly concerns us today, something that's not always visible to those around us, at least directly. What the psalmist expressed in Psalm 119, verse 5, it's part of our prayer. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. That's part of what we pray for when we pray your kingdom come. We pray that God would rule us. Lord, rule me. Rule me in such a way that more and more I submit to you. That word the psalmist used there, that word statutes, that's a kingdom word. We think of when the kingdom of heaven is God's rule that we openly accept, we desire, we pursue. So with the psalmist, every saint, we pray, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, not my statutes, your statutes. We're praying that God's kingdom would come within us and that we would be ruled so that more and more we submit to him. As congregation, while we have an outward eye. God's work must begin within us. With those who confess God, true Christians, our being changed, our being ruled. What does that mean? Well, in part, it means we want God to rule us. We confess God does rule, Christ rules. His counsel, His plan, His purpose, they come to pass exactly as He has determined. Psalm 2, He rules with a rod of iron over those who rebel. But here we're asking, Lord, be enthroned in my heart, in my life. We willingly hand over any grasping, any control, any supposed rule that we think we have. We say, You are Lord. I am not. Rule me. That comes only by grace. That is the opposite of what the first man, Adam, did. In the Garden of Eden, children, remember Adam. Instead of submitting to God's rule, he wanted to rule. Adam wanted to be like God, to be ruler as God is ruler of all. Adam wanted to be king all by himself without having to answer to God. He rebelled. There's that kingdom language. He rebelled against God. And it is the spirit of rebellion that's in your heart and my heart by nature. God's grace, though, congregation, turn from that sin, from rebellion against God. Repent of your sin. Entrust yourself to Jesus. Say, Lord, rule me. Rule me. Now, that's quite a request to pray. We look around the world around us. We see many people who often try to throw off the rule of others over them. In our country, we make much of that people can choose their rulers. If they don't like them, vote them out in the next election. We see many that don't want to wait till the next election. But here in our prayer, we embrace God's rule over us. Again, God rules, but here we acknowledge it willingly. We don't grudgingly say, well, God rules and I have to obey. We pray this as our desire, rule me. And that's to be the desire of every Christian. How often we're tempted to want to block off God from certain parts of our lives. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you, but maybe not this area. I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, an hour Sunday evening for worship service. I'll give you 5 minutes of prayer, maybe Bible reading. But, you know, I really like that certain program on television. Of course, we don't put it that way, do we? We obviously don't talk with God that way, but in essence, that's what we're doing. You know what, Lord? I really like this fun thing that I do, or this Netflix show, or boy, that season just came out, and I have to do this, or this money. This is my money. This is yours, God, and this is mine. Or these friends. You know, I really like this person. She makes me laugh a lot. Or, well, when I'm going to date or court someone, well, okay, Lord, I know a lot of things. I can only marry a believer, but really these other traits, I want these. These are what I'm looking for. Or how we educate our children, how we act in the workplace, how we treat our enemies. Congregation, Christ lays claim to every area of your life and my life, every moment of our existence. There is nothing that is to be outside His lordship, nothing that you and I do not submit to His word for direction. For ruling. We confess Jesus as Savior. We confess Jesus as Lord. And so we say with the psalmist, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. We pray that our Heavenly Father's kingdom would come. Come within us. That's to be our prayer continually. To come within us. But also secondly, that His kingdom would come within the church, would come within the church. Now, we might think that in the church, the present coming of God's kingdom is clearest, for the church submits to Christ, doesn't it? The church openly says, in every area, we want to submit to God. Every aspect of this church's offices and functions and tasks. Ideally, yes. We can't take this for granted in our age. Many gatherings claim to be Christian churches that do not submit their teachings or their practices. We're tempted to not do that. To claim to seek the leading of the Spirit, but the Spirit always leads according to the Word of God, according to the Bible. But aren't we tempted to do things without consulting the Bible to think, well, this is a good idea. I had this, or I heard of this being done, or what does God's Word say? Instead, aren't we tempted? We're told to take surveys of the community around us to determine what people say they're looking for in a church. We're told to tailor our worship service according to the trends of the world around us to what will keep the youth, not according to what's in the Bible. We're told these things. Look around, congregation. You'll see many groups that claim to be Christian churches that do not submit to God's rule in His Word. Or say, well, that word, that was so much that culture. We're a completely different culture now. And that was Paul, and he was a misogynist, and he was this, and he was that, and that culture was that, so patriarchal, and we're different now. No, here, Lord, rule us. Rule in your church. We are not to seek our wisdom, but submit to God's. The church is to be the clearest expression of the presence of the kingdom of heaven in this world. The church is to be ruled by the Word of God clearly, openly, plainly. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're praying that God would keep His church strong and add to it. We know God has placed frail men to be the office bearers. And only as these men are filled by the Spirit of God and rule according to the Word of God will they shepherd the church of God as God desires. The psalmist brings this out in Psalm 122, what we read. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It doesn't mean we pray only for outward calm, the church, but for the wholeness of the church, the soundness. And that soundness, the peace of Jerusalem, is found only when we are strong in the Lord, faithful to Him, faithful to His Word. Your kingdom come, come here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, pray for the ministers, the elders, the deacons. Pray that they would faithfully fulfill their office. Pray for God's grace, that they would carry out their office. Think even of the aspect of meetings. We just had a council meeting. Lord willing, we'll have a consistory meeting. Not only for time to attend the meetings, but for discernment during the meetings. The discussions, the decisions, to be able to pay attention, to understand, to speak edifyingly to one another, to vote conscientiously. Pray for them. Another practical thing to pray for, that the minister would clearly, faithfully preach the Word of God. He would boldly preach the gospel, that the elders would faithfully visit the members of the congregation according to their needs, that deacons would wisely exhort members of the congregation in showing mercy. Those are some of the duties of the office bearers that you can pray for. Pray that the marks of a true church would be maintained here always. The gospel would be proclaimed and all would be called to faith and repentance. That the sacraments would be faithfully administered, that Christian discipline would be faithfully exercised. Pray also that the Lord would continue to add to this congregation through births and conversions. Pray that the Lord would draw your family members, your neighbors, your co-workers to worship God and then invite them to church. When you see a visitor, go and greet them. Talk to them. Pray for them then throughout the coming weeks, that the Lord would draw them in, adding them to His church. Pray for those whom you know that do not know the Lord, who are not believers. Pray that the Lord Jesus would turn them from their sin, from their darkness, and bring them unto Himself. As an application, something we mentioned before is the Dutton update, the birthday and anniversary calendars. How wonderful to take that, and as part of putting into practice this command, this petition, "Thy kingdom come," is pray for each member, pray for each couple in the congregation throughout the year. As you see their name there, that the Lord would strengthen them in the faith, in love for Him and others, that in their life the Lord would have His kingdom come with them. Very practical ways that we can pray in many ways this petition, Your kingdom come. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the wholeness, the peace of the church. We pray that our Heavenly Father's kingdom would come within the church. But we also pray, as we move to in our third point, that His kingdom would come within society. It would come within society. Now, some people want to limit the kingdom of heaven to the church as an institution, as we call it in our tradition. Now, certainly, only true Christians, those who are regenerate, are inside the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And certainly the kingdom of heaven, as we said, comes to clearest expression in the church of God, the congregation, as we're gathered here. But the kingdom of heaven is not limited to congregations, to the church as institution, because we aren't limited here. We live not only now and here, but we live all of life, in many spheres of life. And as Christians are found in all of life and live under Christ's rule in every area of life, so the kingdom of heaven is to come to expression in all of life. There is such a thing as Christian education, Christian art, Christian work, Christian politics, even a Christian state. And we pray, Your kingdom come. We are to pursue expressions of the kingdom of heaven. We're not content to participate in spheres of life and have no influence upon what is said, what is done, the direction of that sphere, the labor in it. Next week, Lord willing, we have the opportunity to sign a petition about dismemberment abortion, make it illegal in our states. Things like that are good and proper to do as Christians, involvement in the state. Now, does this mean that a Christian farmer will be different than a non-Christian farmer? Yes. Well, to outward eyes, they might drive the tractor the same way, they might plant the same type of seeds, they might plant at the same time of year. But the Christian consciously seeks all of our life to be under the rule of Christ, to give Him glory. And so the Christian farmer will not farm on Sunday. The Christian farmer will not try to deceive his buyers about what he's selling. He won't boast about his timing, his hard work, his wisdom, his good luck. Christian farmer won't curse or complain when rain is too abundant or when rain becomes too scarce. Instead, he entrusts himself to his Father in heaven. And the Christian farmer seeks to point to God, His provision, His care, thanking Him, rather than point to himself. And so too in every area of life. Think of education. The Christian parent desires his or her children to be taught about God. That God, not nature, created everything. That God, not chance and the laws of nature, govern everything. That God's glory, not our getting a job or our pleasure, God's glory is the goal of everything. And that God's law, not our preference or even the laws of the civil state, God's law is the standard for living. The Christian desires God to destroy the devil's work, to destroy every force which revolts against God, every conspiracy against His Word, as the Catechism puts it. As we read in 1 John 3:8, this is what Jesus came to do. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And the devil's works are found not only sin in our hearts, not only sin found in congregations, but it's also sin found in society. What are some examples of those in our land? Abortion, racism, human trafficking, to name just a few. Therefore, as we pray, Your kingdom come, we pray God would destroy the devil's work wherever it's found. And as part of faithfully praying that, we say, Lord, use me in that cause. What am I to do, Lord? Pray that our Heavenly Father's kingdom would come within society. Think of every sphere you participate in. Work, school, politics, chewing the fat with someone, family life, over every sphere, over every activity, over every second, Jesus says, this is mine, I am Lord. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And as his followers, we confess, Jesus is Lord. Not just over this part, but over all of life, in our involvement in society. As we said earlier, with regard to our personal life, aren't we tempted to try to lock off Christ from public life? Many say, well, religion, that's a private affair. Isn't there something like separation of church and state or something like that? Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come. Now, it doesn't mean we establish some denomination as our denomination for America. But it means we are to seek his kingdom in society. That the devil's work, wherever it is found, would be destroyed. And the devil's work is found in much of society, isn't it? Much of the spheres in which we live. We pray, Lord, destroy that work. Lord, use me. Now, as we pray this, we need to consider ourselves. Again, we're not like the Islamic jihadists. We don't take up the sword to bring what we think is God's kingdom. We're not like the extremist in California some weeks ago who shot others of a different religion to bring about what he thought was best. Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. And that's not thoughts here and arguments here. That's arguments wherever we encounter them. It's through careful, biblical reasoning based in the gospel of Christ, what Jesus actually did in our history, the change he brought by his life, his death, his resurrection, the bringing in of the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, patient reasoning, fervent prayer, faithfully living out that gospel reality, that kingdom reality. God uses that. He uses you to destroy the works of the devil. So often, though, aren't we tempted to follow the world, to follow what the world has in place, to enjoy the pleasures, the allures of this life, rather than to seek first his kingdom. Seek first, above all. Aren't we tempted to be content to compromise with evil, to compromise with the devil's work rather than confront it? By God's grace, confront it in a Christian manner. Now, this is every Christian's duty, but men, you're to take the lead in this. As you seek to disciple your wife and children, make sure you care about the Christian faith and increase in your knowledge of it. Don't waste your time. There's a proper time for leisure. There's a proper time for work. But don't do excessive of any that your family languishes. Don't waste your time in selfish leisure. We're in a spiritual war, as we saw this morning from 1 Timothy. And as you see sin in your life of compromise, complacency, by God's grace, repent of that sin, of that worldliness, that compromise, and pray this prayer, your kingdom come. Lord, use me, help me. That's part of our calling as a child of God, as a citizen of his kingdom, living in this fallen world. We pray that our heavenly Father's kingdom would come within society. But lastly, we also pray that the kingdom will come within all creation. Fourth point, all creation. Now, the kingdom of heaven is coming within ourselves, coming within the church. We even see it come within society. We still realize we live in a fallen world. There are times when the devil's work is clearly defeated. There are times where it seems evil is spreading, seems it's gaining the upper hand. Think of the moral, the religious decline in the churches in our land, society over the past 100 years. But also, consider the growth of true churches, that there's a growing reformation in your own personal advancement and growth in godliness. We should not be too pessimistic. We should not be too optimistic about the coming of the kingdom of heaven in the time before Jesus comes again. And while we rejoice in the coming of the kingdom in our time, we rejoice as restrictions are placed on abortion or someone chooses life rather than not. We rejoice when there's racial reconciliation. We know that sin will never be completely done away with. Certainly death will not be until Jesus comes again. And the coming of the kingdom now leads us to yearn for its fullness. When it comes in its fullness, when Jesus returns a second time, a final time, and he renews all things. The Apostle Paul wrote of that just part in Romans 8 of what we read. We know the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. When Jesus comes again, he will bring the kingdom in its fullness. All evil will be banished. We will be transformed. We will be glorified. The new heavens and the new earth will come. No more sorrow. No more sin. No more brokenness. No more frustration. No more death. God's glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that which we prayed for in the first request, hallowed be your name, that will be fulfilled forever as Jesus brings God's kingdom in fullness and then hands the kingdom over to his Father. And God will be all in all. Until that time, though, brothers and sisters, we're in warfare, spiritual warfare, not earthly. So in the power of the Spirit, labor, strive. Until that time, we see our labor in the Lord progress, but at times also apparently reverse. And death itself seems to undo so much. Maybe we're tempted to throw up our hands and say, what's the use? But we live by faith. Faith in God's word of promise. Because Jesus will return. Because Jesus will complete the kingdom. And because God, by the same power with which he raised Jesus from the dead, will raise your body and transform it to be like Christ's glorious body. We know our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Nothing done for Christ is meaningless because of the resurrection, because that kingdom will come in fullness. His kingdom is coming within us, within the church, even within society, and that's not something that will be undone ultimately. It will not be thwarted. It will not be rendered useless because God will raise the dead. Trust him and be encouraged that as you pray, your kingdom come, as you labor to be used by God in the fulfilling of that prayer, be encouraged. We pray that his kingdom would come within us, within the church, within society, within all creation. Our Father's kingdom is coming, even now. But how glorious when Christ comes again and brings it in its fullness. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your kingdom, your Son has brought it. You are extending it. Have your kingdom come. In so many ways, make us more aware of the coming of your kingdom and how you are bringing it, how we are to be used by you in it. Strengthen our faith, strengthen our hope, strengthen our love, and send your Son. We long for that kingdom to come in its fullness. And we know that even though you use us as instruments in your hand now, it is the coming of your Son that brings the fullness. Your power displayed on that day. Bring your kingdom. And may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.